Well, good morning, church. If we could find our seats, I want to just extend my greetings to you. As Pastor Chuck said, thanks for braving the streets of Perry Hall, Kingsville, Bel Air, getting here today. Appreciate you. There's more here than I thought. So I just envisioned myself teaching to an empty sanctuary. But hey, those online, I really respect your judgment staying home. So thankful for the online option, but we're glad you're joining with us too. And that includes my family. So anyway, good morning. It's always good to be together on Sunday, this third Sunday of Advent. I'm Pastor Rick, one of the pastors here. A pretty hectic morning in trying to decide whether to have service or not, but I'll tell you, driving here and just looking at the beauty of the snow was pretty wonderful. It's such a wonderful time of year. The Christmas season, these last 2 weeks, I don't know if you can relate to this statement, but it has been nuts for us. Nuts in a good way, because you can be busy with good things and not so good things, and I think we've been busy with good things, because we love all the circles that we're involved with. And I got to give props to my wife, because she's been helping me out so much over this last month. She's such a support to me. She's just amazing. Even when I was leaving here today, I was in the shower, I come out and she's clearing my car for me. That's just who she is. So she supports me in so many things. So a few weeks ago, I tried to bless her. So usually I help around the house, but I wanted to do more. So a few weeks ago, I straightened up. I was cleaning all the counters, vacuumed a lot, organized all the kids to get their chores done. I mean, at the end of it, I looked back, looked around the house, and I said, wow, you're really good at this, Rick. Like, this is pretty amazing. So in the soft morning light, everything, my cleaning always looks very professional, like I should have a professional cleaning company. The counters look good, the floors look good, and I convince myself that this place is in pretty good shape. But then as the day goes on, the sun rises and it starts to shine through this big foyer window I have. Dan, do you have that picture? And when that bright sunlight pours in, the sun reveals everything that I missed. I notice all the things that I didn't see before. I see all the dust on the shelves that I completely forgotten about. All the streaks on the doors that I thought had been cleaned up are still there. All the crumbs tucked in all the corners that I thought were clean. Because this light opened my eyes to things that I really didn't even see before. Now, the room itself didn't get messier, it just got brighter. And the brightness of the light reveals what was already there. And it is kind of funny, because almost like clockwork, my wife decides to come home when the sun is at its highest and it's revealing everything. But she's always very gracious, and she always says thanks for helping, and I know she means it. But my cleaning is exposed by the light. And church, that's exactly what God does with our hearts. As he pours more and more light into our lives, he lovingly shows us places we didn't see before. We see bad attitudes. We see old wounds. We see habits. And we see all kinds of things that we thought were fine and in good order. Now, the amazing thing is God does not do this to shame us. He doesn't do it to discourage us. But we have a God who is committed, and he is deeply committed to making us more like Jesus. Now, there's a word that gets thrown around in church circles, and that word is sanctification. And sanctification is simply God's ongoing work to make us more like Jesus. It's God's steady work of grace in our lives. And he keeps shining his holy light in our hearts because he refuses to leave us half-formed. He reveals what needs to be healed, what needs to be cleaned, reshaped, because he loves us. And you know, over these last 2 weeks of Advent, we've been sitting with this theme of light. this light that has come into the world in Jesus. Andrew, 2 weeks ago, walked us through John 1, the holy light, the light that shines in the darkness, the light that the darkness cannot overcome. Pastor Chuck, last week, walked us through the Christmas story, where we considered the guiding light, how God led the Magi across great distance, deep darkness, to bring them into the presence of Jesus. So we saw a light that leads, that draws, and invites us to bow to worship. But today, on this third Sunday of an Advent, we're going to read from Ephesians, where Paul's going to take this theme a little deeper, because this light that has entered the world is the same light that now does a work in us. And when Christ shines his light on a life, his intention, is it merely to comfort us or to inspire us? But it is to transform us. The light is committed to making us more like Jesus. So today, let's slow down and look at what Christ's light actually does in us. So my big idea is that Christ's light reveals us, it refines us, and awakens us to a life that reflects his glory. So Christ's light reveals us, refines us, and awakens us to a life that reflects his glory. So with that in mind, it is time to read God's word, and we're going to go to Ephesians 5 today, and we're going to read verses 8 through 14. If you don't have your Bible, you can follow along on the screen. So this is what Paul writes. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Let me pray real quick for us this morning. Father, we come to you this morning because we need you. We need your light. I know for me, quiet my heart, quiet the distractions. Help us to hear what you're saying to us today. We want your word to show us Christ. And let that grace change us from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen. So this passage in Ephesians, when we read it, you can see that there are three contrasts that Paul is making. We see darkness and light, hidden and revealed, sleep and awakening. And when you read this passage, you can see this steady, slow progression. It's almost like the brightening of a dawn. Janine loves to watch the sunrises in the morning. Sometimes I watch with her. But you notice before the sun rises, everything looks muted. Everything is half asleep, half awake. You can see the shapes, nothing's clear. Colors are there, but they're dull. And then slowly at first, and then all at once, the light starts revealing the world, starts to reveal the world as it really is. What was blurry comes into focus. What was hidden becomes clear. And Paul is saying something similar to that in this passage. Something similar happens inside the human heart. You see, when Christ shines his light, the first thing that happens is it gives us sight. We begin to see ourselves truthfully for the first time. And really, that brings us to the first movement of Paul's thought, and that is that Christ's light reveals us. Christ's light reveals us. Paul begins with a simply remarkable sentence. He says that for one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now, he doesn't say you were in darkness. He doesn't say you were kind of dark. He says you were darkness. We were darkness. Darkness wasn't just around us. It was in us, shaping us, guiding us, defining us. It was who we were. But then Christ's light has broken into our lives, and we've been moved from darkness into light. And that's why Paul can say, you are light in the Lord. You are light in the Lord. He's not saying not someday, not eventually. He's saying right now, if you are in Christ, you are light. Not because you created it or earned it. No, the light in you is his light. It's received from him, reflected through you, and meant to shine out from your life. So that's the gospel, right? When you trust in Jesus, your sins are forgiven, and at the same time, his life becomes your life. His righteousness becomes your righteousness. His light is your light. Jesus says in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life. So, light, because we have him. And when Christ's light is in you, it's going to show you things about yourself that you might rather not see, but you need to. And this isn't done to shame you or embarrass you, but like I said before, God is a committed God to make you more like Jesus. We were blind to things before the light, right? It's like when we renovated the bathrooms upstairs, right? When Dave Noske renovated the bathrooms upstairs, you walk in and you see like these new paint, new fixtures, new counters, and everything just looks great. And then you go downstairs and you step into one of the older bathrooms and you're like, ugh. Right? I didn't realize how worn out this place looks. Nothing actually changed in that older space. The contrast just made it visible. And that's how Christ's light works. It tells the truth about us because that's when restoration can begin. So before he refines us and before he awakens us, he must help us see. Because the light reveals what the darkness hides. That's why Paul in verse 9 says, the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. So Paul mentions truth, righteousness, goodness as fruit of the light. And these things only flourish under Christ's revealing light. Living in the shadows, living in darkness, chokes these three things. They cannot grow. But light brings them to life. Because when God shines his light into our hearts, we begin to see the things we did not see so clearly before. You see, we have these motivations that we thought were pure. We have patterns that we treat in our lives as harmless. We have sins we openly minimize or explain away. But God is committed to showing us these dark things so he can transform us. But let me say this. I mean, this is true for me and in my own walk with Christ. When God brings something in, when light is revealed, it's rarely dramatic. I've had a few moments where God has pointed to an area, and I won't say he's pointed with a shout, but certainly a loud voice, showing me areas I needed to change. But usually the pattern of God showing me things is very quiet, personal, and surprisingly ordinary, right? Sometimes I have this gentle tug, the Holy Spirit, that something isn't right, right? It's an uneasiness that lingers, maybe a situation that I just mishandled, a person that I've just grown cold and numb with. It's a discomfort that I just can't quite dismiss. So I know the Spirit's leading me to do something about it. I need to do that differently. Sometimes I read his word, and sometimes I read a passage that I have read over and over and over again. But then it speaks to me in a new way that reveals my heart. And I start to see how the darkness has just numbed me to certain areas. And the word is convicting. It's showing the light. Sometimes we have friends, and we have good friends, that God uses right? To speak truth into your life, right? They see things that you don't see. And they're a true friend because they say something. They speak the truth in love. They speak honestly. That's God's light radiating from others. And often God uses circumstances, pressure, waiting, disappointments, trials, not to punish us. But these things reveal what we trust, what we cling to, and the areas that still need healing. So when you get squeezed, what comes out of your heart? What's your reaction? What does that expose about you? What is the fruit? So we have a God that's lovingly, patiently shining his light, and it's always for our good. And there's something really kind and remarkably kind, just remarkably kind about God, is that God doesn't reveal all the messed up things about us all at once, right? He doesn't show us all the work that needs to be done at once. I mean, if he did, who could stand? None of us could handle it. It would absolutely overwhelm us. You're like a highway under construction. You're like I-95, I-695, always under construction. You're like, when is this thing ever going to be done? That's you. As you go north on 95 and you hit that stretch, right, working on for years, hey, that's you. They don't tear up all eight sections in a day, but they fix it mile by mile, section by section. Because if they shut the whole highway down, no one would be able to move. That's a picture of what God is doing in you, being rebuilt mile by mile, section by section, in the bright mercy of his light. Christ shows you what you're ready to see in the season you're ready to see it. And the slow reveal isn't God dragging his feet, but it's his mercy. It's him being gentle, wise. Such a merciful God. And this isn't meant to overwhelm us, but to transform us. And this slow, patient revealing we experience in our hearts isn't random. It's the very pattern of Scripture has been describing from the beginning. Scripture keeps saying the same thing, right? Here are a few passages that speak to that. I mean, I don't have time to read them all, but Paul says that God has shown light into our hearts. Colossians talks about how we've been transferred from out of darkness into light. And then Jesus says something stunning. He says that you are the light of the world. So carry this light and do what the light does. Paul in verse 11 says, expose them. Expose what, Paul? Expose the darkness. Expose the dark things. Bring all that's hidden into the light. Because friends, we can't get free from things that we continue to hide and justify. Freedom begins when the light tells the truth. Holy light reveals things in us we never thought were a problem. And it tells the truth about us because Jesus loves you too much to leave you in the shadows with your sin. So whatever Christ reveals, he intends to redeem. Whatever he exposes, he intends to transform. David in Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, and lead me in the way everlasting. Look, David is not afraid of God seeing him. He craves it. He wants it. He is afraid of not seeing what God sees. That's spiritual maturity, growing in honesty before God. And that's scary, right? What if we're rejected? Nope. Paul always puts identity before behavior. That's why in most of Paul's letters, he cements you in your identity first. He cements you in who you are in the Lord before he gets into anything. In this Ephesians passage, he writes, you are the light of the Lord, meaning you are light before you act like light. You belong before you behave. You are accepted before you are perfected. So when Christ's light reveals sin, the enemy is going to whisper condemnation to you by saying you're a failure, you haven't changed, and you will never be free of this sin. That's the voice you'll hear. But Christ says something differently. He says, I reveal this because you belong to me. I show you this because I love you and I intend to restore what I reveal. So you don't walk in the light to become light. You walk in the light because you are light. So don't hide. Don't justify. Don't minimize. Don't pretend. Bring it to the light. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us. We're not talking about walking in perfection. This is walking in a life of confession, of humility and honesty. It is saying what David said, Lord, tell me what you see. Show me what you see. That's where transformation begins. Everything God does in you starts with light. So Christ's light reveals us. It shows us what's really there, not all at once, section by section, the highway, as a highway is repaired, the way sunlight shows a room, one corner at a time. But God never stops at revelation. He doesn't shine his light simply to expose what's wrong. He shines it to change what's wrong. Right? And that brings us to the second movement of the Apostle Paul's thought. Christ's light doesn't just reveal us. Christ's light refines us. If revelation is the first movement of the light, then refinement is the second. Christ opens our eyes to what's true, and he is committed to forming that truth. And Paul says something deeply hopeful in verse 13. When anything is exposed to the light, it becomes visible, and anything that becomes visible is light. Anything that comes into his light becomes a place where he will begin to do great work. His light doesn't just search us, it changes us. So to understand this a little more, let's go back to an older voice, the voice of the prophet Malachi from the Old Testament. Malachi 3, 1 through 3. Let's read this. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. They will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. So this verse tells us that he is like a refiner's fire. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of gold and silver. He will purify the sons of Levi. Notice that what this picture isn't. This isn't a picture of a wildfire burning out of control. But this is a craftsman fire, one that's controlled, intentional, precise. A refiner will take precious metal like gold and silver, place it under heat, not to destroy it, not to harm it, but to separate what's valuable from what's damaging. So the refiner will be there and he'll apply heat. He'll wait patiently. He watches carefully. And he never leaves the flame unattended. He's not hurried. He's not careless. He is intentional with every second that piece of metal is under the heat. He sits, he stays, he watches. He knows exactly how much heat that metal can take. He knows precisely how much impurity must rise to the surface. And then he knows when to remove it from the fire, because he can see his own reflection in the silver. Brothers and sisters, this is how God works with you. Christ will bring heat at times through conviction, circumstances, challenges, but never more than his love allows, never without his presence, and never, never, ever without his careful eye on you. He never leaves the flame unattended. Refinement is clearing out whatever isn't like Christ. So he's not going to clean out your personality or your story, but he does want to clean out your pride, our bitterness, self-reliance, defensiveness, harshness, unbelief. It's God's gentle work of shaping us. Now, one of the places that God refines us is within our marriages. Yeah, he refines us in marriage, right? Not in tearing each other down, not in keeping score, not in holding past failures against one another, but in this quiet, everyday way, God uses a spouse to help us, what we might miss on our own, to see, help us see the places where we may need a little more patience, where we react too quickly, where we say stupid things, where we assume we're right, where we struggle to listen. A healthy Christ-centered marriage becomes this refining partnership. I know, very romantic. Two people gently, lovingly shaping one another into Christ's likeness. And it's really hard because the spouse often becomes the one who feels up close the places where the other really needs to change. You have a front row seat to their sin. But in marriage, it's if God's saying, you know what, I'm going to use this person's strengths to expose your blind spots, and I'll use your strengths to build them up. So both of you grow in the fullness of Christ. You know, it works this way in close friendships too. All right? There's always a temptation, you know, when we get on each other's nerves, there's always a temptation to just want to write each other off and say, that's it, I'm done. You're not worth it. My life would be so much simpler without you. But is that what Jesus does to you? You see, growth in the light is hard. And God has created it so that spouses, friends, are there to help us with the spiritual growth. So questions to consider is, do you consider your spouse as a work in progress? Or do you just dwell on their shortcomings? Do you actively celebrate growth that you see in one another? Or do you just dwell on where you missed the mark again? Because Ephesians 4:2 says, walk with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Because that's refinement, that's gentle, slow, and grace-filled. God is working, right? Think about a jeweler, right? You go into the jewelry store, and jeweler is going to use this bright, focused light, put it on a diamond to reveal flaws and brilliance. Now, the light doesn't create the flaw, but it exposes it so that the gem can be shaped. Then the jeweler does what he's trained to do. He cuts, shapes, polishes until the brilliance shines. That's what Christ is doing in you. He reveals the flaw, then he starts cutting away all those things that just don't belong. Anger here, pride there, fear there, really with the precision of a master craftsman. James 1:3 says, the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. This means that the heat that you feel right now in your life has purpose. Believe that. The heat in your life right now has purpose. You're not being punished. You're not abandoned by God. Pressure is not God crushing you. It's God strengthening you, purifying you. The refiner will never waste the fire, never waste the pain, and he never wastes the season. Every degree of heat is part of his design to make you shine with the brilliance of his grace. Remember the highway under construction? Refinement doesn't happen all at once. If God removed everything in us that needed changing in one moment, we would never survive it. So lane by lane, section by section, season by season, conviction here, breakthrough there. Next year, you're going to have a new insight. 5 years from now, it's going to bring a new obedience into your life. This is not God moving slowly. This is God moving wisely. He knows what you're ready for, and he knows what you can take. He knows how much heat to apply, right? He knows what part of the sculpture to chisel today and what to leave for tomorrow and a few years from now. It's time. Timing's never late. It's not negligent. It's refinement. It's perfection. I want to repeat this because this is the truth that we really need to lock into our brains. The beautiful thing about refinement, it doesn't crush you because your identity becomes before the refiner even begins to do his work. Remember, Paul said, you are light in the Lord, already accepted, already loved. You are secure. So bring the things out from the darkness. Refinement isn't God trying to make you worthy. It's just God making you into what you already are. A beloved child who's starting to look more and more like Jesus. And on that day, right, when we're with the Lord, that's the completion date. The refining work will be finished. And then Paul says we will shine like the stars. Jesus in Matthew 13 says the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. You'll shine because he has refined you, radiant because he has restored you. This is your future. This is who you are. So Christ's light reveals us. Christ's light refines us. He exposes what is broken, and he begins that work of making all things new. But Paul doesn't stop there, because the light doesn't only transform us, the light also awakens us. Refinement prepares us for this great awakening, for an awakening that softens the soul, softens the soil of the heart, so resurrection life can grow. Because resurrection isn't only a future hope, but it begins now. So if revelation is what Christ helps us see, refinement is what Christ helps us become, the awakening part is the life that Christ calls us to live. Awakening is where the light of Christ doesn't just reveal and refine, it revives. So it's going to bring dead places in you to life. It's going to wake up your sleepy hearts. It's going to bring some of your hidden gifts to the surface. It's going to take people who were just merely in survival mode, and it's going to help you to truly live and enjoy life as it's meant to be enjoyed. This is why Paul ends this passage with what many scholars believe was an early Christian hymn. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So this is a summons, right? It's a resurrection call. It's the divine alarm clock ringing in your ear. Awake, O sleeper. It's time to wake up, and it's time to live in the light. Arise from the dead. That's the language, arise from the dead. He doesn't say, oh, just try harder, do better, get your act together. He uses resurrection language. This is the language of Ezekiel's dry bones. This is Lazarus being called from his tomb. And this is the language of Jesus in John 5:25. The dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Awakening isn't our work. Jesus brings it to life in us. He creates spiritual life. And the growth that follows is the growth of a resurrection. All right, remember the dawn. Before dawn, everything's muted, everything's quiet. But then the horizon brightens, and suddenly the world awakes. Spiritual awakening, the dawn of Christ that is beginning to break over your soul, and you begin to feel alive to God in ways you never did. All of a sudden, conviction becomes welcomed. Scripture, reading scripture becomes nourishment. Worship becomes joy. Obedience becomes true freedom. So awakening is the dawn of the kingdom in your heart. And awakening isn't just a new life, it's a whole new orbit. When Christ awakens you, Christ will now move to the center of everything in your life, right? There's only one sun in the center of God's solar system. And guess what? It isn't us. Awakening in Christ. Christ is taking his rightful place at the center, and everything else in your life is slowly realigning itself around him. Colossians 1:16 says all things were created through him and for him, not for us. All things were created through him and for him. You were created for Christ, and the awakened life is the life realigned around him. Awakening is realizing, hey, I'm not the main character in this story. I am not the main character in this story of redemption. Christ is. And once that sinks into our brains, into our hearts, you're going to stop trying to build our own little kingdoms here on earth, and you're going to start living for him. You're going to see things differently. You're going to go to work, and you know what? You're going to begin to see your work life as a calling. When you suffer, you're going to view suffering as refinement. Your resources, your time and money, it's become stewardship. All of a sudden, your neighborhood becomes a mission field. All your relationships become gospel opportunities. Your future belongs to him. So awakening is going to move from you living to protect yourself to living for the glory of God. Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, something we all, verse very familiar, seek first the kingdom of God. But do we know what that means? Seek first the kingdom of God. It's not a burden. It's an invitation to an awakening, to wake up. Because true happiness, right? We're all chasing happiness, but happiness isn't something you chase because you're never going to achieve it. It's something that follows and you're blessed with when you chase God. Your greatest happiness will be a byproduct of putting God first in everything. This happiness is attained when we stop thinking about ourselves so much. Before you knew Christ, right, life, we were living in black and white. Shades of gray, hints of meaning, beauty. There were beauty, but muted. But when Jesus awakens you, your soul becomes alive with color. Gratitude grows richer, relationships deepen, scripture becomes sweeter, worship becomes truer. And then you start seeing your life not as a collection of random events, but you start seeing your life as a story that God is writing. Start to see image bearers, start to see people as image bearers with purpose, real worth. You start to see your time and your money as something God has trusted you with, something to use wisely, how to invest into his kingdom. Right? This is awakening, the moment spiritual color begins to fill in what once was black and white. Right, and here's the beautiful turn. You know, Christ does not shine his light on you to leave it with you. He shines his light through you. Matthew 5:14-16 says, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine. Not because you're impressive, but because Christ has awakened you, and now you're a carrier of that light. Awakened people begin to awaken others. And how do you do this? You do this through forgiveness. You do this through generosity, through truth spoken in love. When Christ awakens you, you don't just carry the dawn and keep it to yourself, you spread it. Wherever you go, the light of Christ goes with you. And here's the hope that carries all of this. The awakening we experience now is just the first rays of that ultimate sunshine. Revelation 21:23 says, the city has no need of sun, for the glory of God gives it light. And its lamp is the Lamb. One day the dawn will become a full day. One day the light we know in part, we're going to know it in full. One day every shadow will disappear. Every wound you have will be healed, disappear. And every heart will shine in the presence of Christ. I'm not just wishful thinking up here. This is your future because the light himself has promised this to you. Awakening now is simply a taste of awakening forever. Worship team, you can come forward. So Christ's light reveals us, Christ's light refines us, and Christ's light awakens us. So the only question left for us is, will you step into the light? Christ's light reveals us, showing us what's really there, not to shame us, but to heal us. He refines us patiently, intentionally, lovingly, shaping us the way a silversmith watches the fire, or a sculptor chisels away stone to uncover beauty. Christ's light awakens us, calling us out of our sleep, out of your small living, out of our self-centered orbit, into a life full of joy and freedom wrapped around his glory. So this is the journey of every disciple. This is the story of sanctification. This is the work of the Spirit and of the people of God. And maybe today you have felt the revealing light. Maybe God has shown you corner of your life that you haven't really looked at in a long time. Not to crush you, but to restore you. Maybe you're just you're feeling that refining heat of a season that has stretched you. Oh man, you feel the chisel, you feel the pain, you feel the fire, you feel the pressure. So if that's where you are, remember this, the refiner never leaves the fire unattended. He sits, he watches, he stays. And his eyes, always on you, he knows exactly what he's doing. The amount of heat, every ounce of pressure, every place where the flame has gotten close, he's been there. Not trying to break you, but he's shaping you, purifying you. He wants to see his image in you. Or maybe today you feel something stirring, a nudge, a longing. Just a whisper that says, man, you've been asleep for way too long. Wake up, rise, and finally live. That nudge is Christ awakening you. That's resurrection light that's dawning on your soul. Because every part of this journey we're on is grace. The light revealing, the light refining, the light awakening. Grace, grace, grace. Advent, this is why Advent matters. The light who came for us now lives in us. And someday, that light's going to come again. There is a sunrise appointed for every believer. A moment when the night breaks and the shadows flee, and the voice of Jesus says, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and I will shine on you. So the question is not whether the light has come. The question is, will you step into his light? Because to step into his light is to step into life itself. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the gift of your light, the light that has come into the world through Christ, now shines in our hearts by your Spirit. Lord, we confess that we prefer sometimes that softer light, places where things look better than they really are. Today, the ask is, shine your light on us. Search us, O God. Expose what is hidden. We want healing, Lord. Lord, we know that you're not only the God that reveals, but you're the refiner who restores. So that where there's pride in our hearts, bring humility. Where there's sin, just bring cleansing. Shape us patiently into your likeness. Awake us from this slumber that we can slip into. Stir fresh love for Christ. Lord, stir fresh obedience in areas that we have just been numb to. Lord, may our homes, our friendships, our relationships, our work, our church be places where your light shines through us for the good of others. Lord, as I think about this Advent season, remind us that the light has come. The light is at work, Lord. And we know that you will come again. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.